And welcome to Share Truth, Apply Scripture. I'm Jordan Chambly, and as always, I am joined by my co-host, Cedra Sark.
I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad you're glad to be here. It would be really sad for me if you were not glad to be here.
Would it be? I could fake it. I could pretend.
Maybe.
I really am, though. I'm always glad to do these recordings, and I think the longer we go, like, we've talked about this before. I'm not a professional radio person at all.
Yeah, me neither. I mean, I'm a writer.
We both ended up here by accident.
Yeah, the thing is, like, we work in departments that are very much not radio.
It was a slow progression. And next thing, you know, I was supposed to be behind the scenes only, and then I turned into a fill-in, like a just-in-case fill-in person.
Right.
And now I'm co-hosting with you every week.
I know.
What happened?
It's crazy. You know, the Lord moves in mysterious ways, as they say. Yeah, that being said, if you're new here and you haven't listened to Share Truth Apply Scripture before, basically me and Cedra, we like to tackle issues that we think are kind of close to the heart of younger Christians. So from about high school age to about mid-30s is kind of the range in which I define young Christians. But these are applicable to any Christian at all. We like to tackle these issues and try to answer some questions that we think are important to that demographic. So you know what? If you have any anything that you would like for us to talk about, you know, that would be really cool to reach out to us. And maybe, you know what, you could even leave a review on the podcast platform that you listen to it on. If you're listening to this as a podcast, leave us a review. Let us know what you think about the show and maybe drop some ideas for future subjects.
Yeah, and if you need to find us, the easiest thing I think would be just go to AFR.net where you can listen to the podcast there, obviously, and AFR. If you look up American Family Radio on your phone, on your like app store, you'll be able to find an app where you can listen and find our podcast and listen anytime, anywhere. But I believe we're on other. I know we're on different platforms.
Yeah.
Spotify. I want to think Google Play.
Yeah, or Google Podcasts. Whatever. Which one? Yeah.
Yeah, but if you go to AFR.net, there will be links there for you to be able to click on and pick which platform you prefer so that you can listen to us anytime.
Absolutely. We are all over the place. So, Cedra, we're going to talk about a subject. You kind of brought a subject to the table today, and I thought it was really, really good. The question of, did Jesus come to bring unity? And I feel like this is a great topic because there's so many ways you can take that question. On one hand, yes, Jesus did come to bring a kind of unity.
Yeah.
Unity between redeemed sinners and God.
Yeah.
Unity throughout the body of the church. There is unity that Jesus did bring, but on the other hand, maybe not so much.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of people, I mean, just the more you watch the news and things that are happening, and right now you've probably heard a lot about what's going on with the Methodist Church, which has been a long time thing. This is not like something that just started.
Right.
And if you want to know more about that, I know that there's several news stories up on our news site, AFN.net. You can go to AFN.net and you can find some of those stories there if you want to know what all is kind of going on, if you want to dive into that. But there's a sort of, like, we all have to be loving. And you look in Scripture, some of my favorite Scriptures, one that I learned as a song as a child is 1 John 4:7-8, which says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and anyone that loveth..." And I'm, like, losing my way.
No, it's fine.
I kind of feel like I got to sing it. "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and anyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God."
Yeah.
"He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love."
Yeah.
So to my former Sunday school teachers, if you think, like, if you were wondering at the time, like, will this sit in? Will this stick
there
in their brains?
Go.
It does.
There you go. That's so good.
So, I mean, obviously there, God is love.
Yeah.
But what is love? And is love complete acceptance of who you as a person decide to be?
Right. Yeah. And I think, too, we need to kind of look and see what God's priority is. Because I do think there is that version of Christianity that I would say the mainstream media likes to portray, even when they're trying to portray Christianity in, like, in their version of a positive light, they usually end up portraying this more like flower child Christianity, you know, like the,
yeah.
the very open and accepting and, you know, oh, I'll just, you know, disregard any sort of sinful thing because mm-hmm. it's all love. And thoroughly ignoring the other side of the coin where it's like, well, there is a holy God and sin is abhorrent to him. And so you do have to still deal with that. So there is that version of Christianity kind of out there in people's minds that is very much concerned with just togetherness
mm-hmm.
and unity. And look, those things are great, you know? Like, I would love for everyone just to get along. And I would love to get along with everyone. You know, that sounds amazing to me. But that is not God's priority when it comes to dealing with humanity. God's priority when it comes to dealing with humanity is to uphold his own righteous character.
Yeah.
And to redeem sinners.
Yeah.
You know, in love and grace. And so it's not so much about making the world a very happy place for everyone to live in. While that's a noble thing, and we certainly want to do, you know, we want to leave the world a better place, and we want to do our part to make, you know, have peace with people. In fact, the Bible does command us, insofar as it depends on us, to live at peace with all men. Don't be troublemakers.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, we do want to obey God, and a lot of times, and in a lot of situations, that means we're going to act in very contrary ways to people around us and maybe rustle some feathers.
Exactly. Well, here's the thing. If you look through Scripture, I know that there's the image of the sheep. We are his sheep.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a divide. No matter how you do it, there's going to be a divide. And we are going to be sifted.
Mm, yeah.
We are going to and God is going to separate the ones who are his children
mm-hmm.
from the ones who are not.
Yeah.
So there cannot be there just cannot be true unity
right
between those living in sin
mm.
and those who are trying to be as Jesus called us to be and trying to grow closer to him. There cannot be a true unity.
Mm.
You can have a relationship with them so far and as you know like you're reaching out to them.
Right.
But there's never going to be perfect harmony as long as one side is living in sin.
No, that's very true. While you were saying that, I was thinking of the image of Stephen. So Stephen, the first martyr of the early church, he was a young Christian man, a deacon in his church. He was stoned by an angry mm-hmm. Jewish mob. And Saul of Tarsus, who would later be Paul, one of the, you know, he wrote the majority of the New Testament, was there witnessing this, holding everyone's coats while they were executing this young man. And I was just thinking about the picture of, okay, so we're not going to be able to live in unity. It's not that we're not supposed to, it's that we can't.
Mm-hmm.
We can't really live in a perfect harmony with people who are refusing to bend the knee to Jesus. But what does that disunity look like?
Mm-hmm.
Does it look like two factions of people angrily yelling at each other over the fence? You know, does it look like two armies fighting each other? Well, no. I mean, the Bible tells us that our enemy is not flesh and blood. It is that we have a spiritual battle going on. So people are not our enemies. There are spiritual realities that are. So no, that's not what it looks like. It looks more like, in extreme times, it looks like Stephen. It looks like him lovingly preaching to the people who are killing him.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you see that in the person of Jesus, ultimately. I mean, on the way to die on the cross, he prayed to God, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And, you know, I believe that God did forgive them because, you know, God the Son prayed that. So that's what that disunity looks like. So when people are listening to us and they hear us talk about we're not going to be able to live in harmony and in unity, I don't want people to think, oh, here are these two socio-political, you know, factions that are warring against each other, Christians on one side and heathens on the other. That's not the picture that the Bible paints at all. It's the picture of Christ on the cross. It's the picture of Stephen. It's the picture of every other, you know, figure in the Bible that you can think of that was persecuted or put to death for their faith while they were preaching to the very people who were doing that to them. That's what that disunity looks like. And I feel like that's kind of important for us to remember, especially in these times now where there's a lot of that temptation to fight people, like whether that's to their face or online. And, you know,
don't do it.
And, you know, election year comes around and it just ramps up and ramps up. And it can feel like, hey, look, Christians, we just need to get together and we just need to, you know, be an army. And, you know, we need to fight people.
I'm just going
to
say, when you're having your 4th of July family picnic this year.
Right.
And that crazy relative or whoever it is or whatever side of the political aisle they might be on.
Right.
And they start spouting something angrily about what their belief is.
Yeah.
I just want you to look down and go, man, this sure is some good potato salad, and move on. If you can't find a way to respond in a helpful,
yes,
Christian-like way.
Right, yeah.
If it's to yell, head down all business, eat your food, and you know.
Let them enjoy their freedom of speech that you're celebrating. But yeah, exactly. So the disunity is going to be there, but it isn't going, it's not one of strife on both sides. I really think that we need to remember that the church is not a, we're not going to conquer the world by force. We're going to, the gospel is the way we change people's hearts.
I think, you know, there's a lot of people that, want to, like you, like we've talked about before, want to portray one side of Jesus, just the loving, you know, kind, chill guy, and they don't want to portray the one that flipped tables. There's, you know, look, you know, Jesus, he spoke truth in love, and he used force when necessary, but I've kind of had a roll going right here.
It's okay,
at least trying to thought, but I mean, like, but then there's a lot of people I hear that are not believers necessarily, or maybe they say they are, but they're not really super active. But they'll, or it's the worst though when it's non-believers who don't read the Bible, don't know anything about scripture, and they'll say, you know, Jesus wouldn't have done this or done that.
Right.
I'm like, what scripture do you have to base that off
of? Yeah.
What scripture do you have to base that off of?
Yeah. I mean, the character of Jesus is a hard one to grasp, you know, for people who have not read the Bible. But yes, you do have that. That aspect of Jesus that is very kind and loving. And honestly, that's throughout his whole character. He's never not loving. Even in his wrath, there is love there towards his children. So we can see Jesus as a whole person. He's not, there's not like different angles of Jesus or different, you know, characteristics of Jesus, different sides of Jesus. He is a whole person. Even when you see Jesus saying, let the little children come to me, and being very gentle and very caring towards the outcasts and the most humble people in society, at the same time, he is the conqueror. You know, he is the Lord of hosts. He is the one who can command a legion of angels and wipe out whatever he wants to. I mean, he is still that unstoppable force at the same time. And so, yeah, as we Christians want to emulate that Jesus and follow him, we need to realize that we can't lose the understanding that while we practice grace and mercy and love, and we do that consistently, we never stop doing that, we're still in a battlefield. We're not in, you know, a nice, you know, plushy, safe little place. We're in a danger zone, and there is a war going on, and there are people, human beings, who want to tear down the gospel of Christ, and they want to besmirch his character.
There are Christians who are misrepresenting
there
as well, which
and
just adds fuel to that fire.
And our words to them need to be as strong as they are to the heathens who were doing the same thing. Because, you know, when Peter made the mistake of choosing to favor believing Jews over believing Gentiles, Paul was very quick to publicly call him out on that and thankfully
set that
straight.
And that's because he was supposed to know better. Yeah.
So we need to be able to do the same. But yeah, there's going to be this disunity, and it's important to realize that. I think we can be really sad about that in a lot of ways. I mean, a lot of people might be listening to us and be like nodding their head and being like, yeah, there's this disunity between the church and the world and be okay with that. But then there's people who are like, that's really close to home to them, because there's people in their family who are lost, who are very much bitter against God for one reason or another, and are very closed off to listening to the gospel. And so it can be kind of a hard thing to hear. For a lot of these people, it might even be a temptation to be like, look, I'm just going to go soft on this issue, or I'm going to kind of pull back on my stance on this thing, the way that they're living their life, because I love them and I don't want to lose them. And that's a real thing. Look, for those of us who aren't in that situation, we can be like, well, they shouldn't do that. You know, they should always take that hard stance. But it's harder to do that when you're in that situation.
Well, I keep thinking of the number of parents that I've seen whose children who have decided to go a different direction, live different lifestyles, things that we know that are against scripture. And these parents, like you said, go soft on these topics and start compromising because they don't want to lose their children. That's hard. I obviously don't have kids. I can't imagine. But I have seen it happen. And for them, it's kind of hard to accept that this child that you love, like to accept what scripture says is to accept that your child is separate from Christ, separate from the Lord, and is going a different direction, and that direction leads to one place.
Yeah.
And that's hard to think of your child that way, but then if you bring it in and you really, if you want to think clearly, it's like, if I keep letting them just go down this path, then that is where they're going to go for sure.
Yeah.
If I, as I love them, then I have to try to steer them in a different direction. But again, there is a way, I think, to do that.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's to preach the gospel. And honestly, look, when it comes to preaching to your family members, that can take many different kinds of forms. I feel like some are better than others. If every time you sit down to the dinner table and it's like you pull out your Bible and it's like, okay, you better listen because I'm about to preach at you, that might not always be the best approach. And look, you can consult your the leadership in your church, your pastor, for advice on this. You can talk to a spiritual counselor on this if you're having difficulty understanding how to exactly have these kind of conversations with a family member. Because, look, that's going to happen in every family. It's going to happen. You know, Jesus himself said that he didn't come to bring unity. He came to bring a sword, and there's going to be a division even amongst family members, a daughter against her mother, a son against his father. And that's going to happen because Jesus himself is you have to do something with him. In fact, this morning here at AFA, we had our devotion. We pre-record this, so this is airing on the weekend, but this is a weekday currently, and we had a devotional this morning led by Dr. Ray Rooney. He's a pastor, very godly man. He runs the Stand blog. He actually gave a devotion on the theme of Jesus as King.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really, really powerful. There was this idea of, look, there's people in the world who really love the idea of Jesus as Savior, but they really don't like the idea of Jesus as King, because you have to obey a King. Mm-hmm. A Savior, you just accept their gift and you go on with your life. You know, you're thankful to them, but you don't really have to, like, obey them. But if the Savior is also a King, then the King can tell you how to live your life. The King owns you and owns your life, especially if he also has paid for your life by his own life, which is what we have in Jesus. And so people, you know, we when we come to the character of Jesus and we take him honestly, the way he describes himself in the Bible and the way that the Bible describes him, then we have to do something with that. It can't just be kind of a neutral thing to us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where that sword comes in that divides families. You have a family, the gospel comes into that family. Some people bow the knee to the king and accept his salvation. And then some people, they reject him. There's only two options. You have to do something with Jesus when you come into contact with him. And unfortunately, in many families, that's the case. And you see people who don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. And a lot of times that can be because of, you know, the way other Christians have represented Jesus in their life. And that's very unfortunate. And we need to be careful to not misrepresent Jesus to lost people. But also, it's just, no, they came into the contact with the truth and they've decided to harden their hearts against him. And that can grieve us very deeply, but thankfully, we can pray to God about that. We can come to the Father, and he will deal with them in the way that is just and fair, and he loves to have mercy on people. And so I think we can take a lot of great comfort in that God really does love to have mercy on people and to save sinners.
Yeah. We're looking at this idea of a king. This is not a human king.
Mm.
This is a good...
Yes.
Just king who doesn't just rule over for power, but is powerful.
Yeah.
He is very powerful, but he wants what's best and what's good for his people.
Right.
So the decisions he makes, whether you like them or not, is for your well-being.
Mm. Yeah.
It's not, I mean, so this is not just some king that you look through history, obviously, you have human kings. That's just what happens when humans are involved in anything.
Yeah.
Sin comes into play.
Yeah.
And they do what's best for them.
Yes.
And maybe a little bit what's good for the people.
Right.
If it makes them look good sometimes. Mm-hmm. But God is not that king.
Mm. Yeah.
God knows, he sees everything.
Yeah.
And he knows what is best for you. So the decisions he makes over what you should or should not be doing is for your good.
Right.
For your physical well-being, for your spiritual and mental well-being, that's the decisions that he makes.
Yeah.
And these are not new things. They're in his word from a long time
ago.
Yeah,
exactly, exactly. I mean, he created all things. They exist through him and for him and by him. So... He lays claim to everything. If anyone had the right to be a tyrant who did everything for themselves, it would be God. But he graciously he rules in a way that is loving and merciful. And there is a way, not a complicated way. There is a very simple, straightforward way to eternal life that is offered to everyone freely. And there's almost nothing left to be said. That's the gospel call, and that's what divides people. The Bible's very clear. There are two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and then there's the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of death.
And I've always, here's the thing, I've always kind of, you hear it said, like, all you have to do is accept, and that's it, and nothing else. He doesn't ask anything else from you. I don't like that.
Right.
Because God asks everything of you.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything you are. And now you hear, you know, you've seen the image. I know you've heard it in Sunday school and everything else, that you're now a soldier on the battlefield. Only, you know, the armor looks a little different, which is also in scripture.
So yeah.
You're not like a warrior with a sword.
Yeah.
It is your job now as a soldier to stand firm in the truth of God.
Right.
Because this king has done things for you, for your good, now you want to serve him to the best of your ability.
Yeah. Yes. And look, that's very true. Again, you can't just take Jesus the Savior. You also have to take Jesus the King. And therein lies the division.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that. I'm glad you brought that message back up, because that was a really good devotion this morning.
Yeah.
That Dr. Rooney that did. And if you want to, I mean, he writes some great articles too. So I'm going to go ahead and say, if you go to afa.net/thestand, Mm-hmm. There's a blog there with a lot of different, including our own Dr. Ray Rooney and others.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to use this as a moment to slip that
That's
in
good.
If you want to see some content there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, here at AFA, we're no stranger to the division that Jesus brings to humanity. In fact, that's kind of where we, that's kind of our whole thing,
yeah.
You know? And so I just want to say, for those of you who support AFA, thank you so much for
yes.
standing with us and supporting us in this. I mean, the mission is very clear. I mean, when I walk down the hallway, it's printed on the wall right there is like what we stand for. And it makes me really glad to see the things that we stand for here as an organization. But I think that you can, as a supporter of AFA, you can really kind of trust that AFA is going to do all that it can to be faithful to the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen them many, many times. There's been so many ways they could have compromised. They could have, you know, linked arms with people who, you know, were not inconsistent with the kingdom of God, but they always stand firm on the gospel and the truth of the gospel. So I want to thank you once again for standing with us and supporting us, but also I want to encourage you to keep doing that because the leadership here at AFA, that is their heart to remain faithful to the gospel and
yeah.
represent it accurately in our culture.
And this goes for your donations,
mm-hmm.
but a lot, I mean, your prayers.
Yeah.
We really love hearing from you and knowing that you're praying for us
yes.
and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
We feel very encouraged by that, and it really helps us in what we're doing. So please continue to do that. Pray mm-hmm. for us. And if you hear people on the radio, like they and mm-hmm. pray for them individually,
yes.
whatever you can do, and let it, you know, just pray that we continue to do as we're called to do and to not make those compromises.
Absolutely. Well, with 30 seconds left, I just want to say thank you again for listening. You can catch us on AFR.net. You can look for us under the podcast page there, where you can listen to us at any time you want. Listen to our backlog as well, and then send us your thoughts. Well, with that being said, that'll bring us to the end of this episode. Until next week, continue to share truth and apply scripture.